is greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this is camp meeting week. And we might as well just have a little camp meeting right here. That'd be all right. For those that didn't get to go to Lufkin, we can just go ahead and have camp meeting in Athens, okay? Amen. I believe the same Jesus that's in Lufkin is in Athens tonight. Amen. You know what I found out about God? That God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, and everywhere He is, He's all that He is. There is no weakening. When, you know, sometimes the further you get from the core of the heart of something, the weaker it gets. Whenever you leave the earth, there comes a place where its gravitational pull begins to weaken and let go, and then it just disappears. God's not like that. He's just as strong at the, there is no outside, but if there was, it's just as strong there as it is in the very center. Wherever you are in Jesus Christ, everything that He is, He's the same. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the same everywhere that He is, and He's all that He is everywhere that He is. Amen. What a great God that is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're thankful tonight for you being here. And I did want to mention, my wife and I will be going on a trip, leaving next Tuesday, and we'll be gone for 16 days. That seems like an awful long time, and I'm not in some ways looking forward to it, in other ways I am. This lady has put up with me for 35 years, almost. That's right. She deserves a hand and a whole lot more. Amen. Praise God. And she has always wanted to see Paris. And I told her we could go about 100 miles up the road here or less, and we'd see Paris. That wasn't good enough. She wanted to see that one over there on the other side of the pond. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. So we'll be leaving, and we'll be going to, of course, see the Guidries in Spain. Then we'll be going to Paris and over to Italy for a few days. So we're looking forward to that. It'll be a great trip of a lifetime. But we'll miss being here. I know things are going to go well. If things are rolling good. Amen. They're going to keep going that way. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. One thing I never wanted people to have anywhere I pastor is preacher religion. I want people to have Jesus religion. Amen. Thank you for honoring me, and thank you for loving me and my wife. I appreciate that. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. But let me tell you something. Jesus is just what it's all about. It's not about Brother Grissom or any other preacher. It's about Jesus Christ. And He's here, and He's always going to be here. Amen. And, of course, Brother and Sister Hart, we thank God for Brother and Sister Hart. They are such a blessing. They're going to be here taking care of things while we're out of town. Amen. And I appreciate them so very, very much. Great, tremendous, mature man of God and woman of God that have pastored actually more years than I have. They started a little earlier. Amen. And he got a little head start on me. Praise God. But great people, and I know that you love them and do a good job. All right. Just wanted to mention that so that that doesn't come as a surprise when you get here next Wednesday and I'm not here. Amen. All right. Let's stand together, shall we? I want you to be in prayer with me about something. On Sunday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we got an invitation to go preach in the Lone Star Baptist Church, and we're looking forward to that. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you to be in prayer with us, and we're going to go and share Pentecost with them. And we did last time. We had such a great time over there. I told them, I said, I hope we didn't make ourselves too much at home. Amen. Because we were talking in tongues and shouting just like we were here. So, amen. And they just got right with us. Amen. So we're going to ask the Lord to just pour out the Holy Ghost, do a great thing. And I appreciate those people. They have received us so kindly and so friendly and so well. And so we covet your prayers that we can be a blessing to them when we share with them the word of the Lord. All right. Tonight we're reading from the book of Psalm. Psalm number 122 and verse number 1. And It is a verse that is familiar to many, many of us. And it's a very, very short verse, but a very wonderful verse. It simply said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody ever enjoyed that verse? Anybody believe that verse? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that I found in the house of God. Some things that I found in the house of God. The Lord bless you. May be seated. My voice is a little rough tonight, and I'm going to do my best. And so if you'll listen quick, I'll try to preach quick, and I'll be through here in an hour or two. All right? Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God. David was on the run. Saul was hot on his trail. He had been harried and hounded and running from place to place with his ragtag group of men. He was very hungry and very weary, and he was weaponless, and he had everything, had lost everything but hope. And he came to the house of the Lord in a place called Nob. And when he came to Nob, there, the Bible said that he had come to that place, and he was so hungry, went in, and he asked the priest that was there, Abimelech, he said, hey, he said, do you have any bread here? Amen. And he said, we don't have any common bread here. All we've got here is some holy bread. Amen. David said, why, that'll do. Praise the Lord. Just bring on some holy bread. Hallelujah. You know what I found when I went to the house of the Lord? I didn't find any common bread, but I found some holy bread. They didn't have any rainbow, and they didn't have any great value, and they didn't have any Miss Baird's, but when I got there, I found in the house of the Lord some holy bread. Hallelujah. I found the word of the Lord, and it strengthened me, and it got down in my heart. And when there was, it put a song in there that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. It put some strength in my step. It put some steel in my backbone. It made my knees where they won't bend, and they won't bow before the idols of this world. Amen. It put a love in my heart. Amen. It put a strength in my mind. It gave me some purity in my thinking. When I got to the house of God and got a hold of some holy bread, it did something to me, and it has done much for me. Thank God for the bread that we find in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can eat all the rainbow you can handle and all the Miss Bears, but it ain't going to keep you alive very long. All it'll do is give you a spare tire if you eat too much of it. But you can have all the Word of God and you'll never gain an ounce. Amen. But I tell you what, it's the bread that's going to give more than just a feel good or a feel full. Amen. It's going to keep you when the going gets tough. It's going to make a way when the going gets rough. It's going to be a light to your path and a lamp unto your feet. Hallelujah. The Word of God shall endure. Amen. Praise God. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Give us this day our bread for the rest of our life. That's the way we pray. We don't pray that way, but we think that way. Amen. We don't like it when it gets that close. I don't like it when it gets down to having just enough bread for today and hoping there'll be some there tomorrow. But know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's kind of a tight spot to be in, friend. Whenever you're eating this meal and you're not sure where the next one's coming from except for God. Amen. Most of us hadn't lived that way in a while, or some of us haven't. I certainly haven't. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to, you know, I've got enough bread right now at the house to last for several days. Yeah, how about you? Anybody got any groceries in the cupboard? Hope so. If you do, count your blessings. Praise you. If you got a little something in the freezer, count your blessings. If you got some leftovers in the refrigerator, count your blessings. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Amen. But there's a lot of the world today that literally live from day to day. One of the things I noticed when I got to Colombia, they didn't have big refrigerators. I thought, why don't these people have refrigerators? And then it dawned on me, they don't have any money to put anything in them. Why do you need a big refrigerator when all you got is just you're living from day to day? So if they had a refrigerator at all, it was just a little one because it's all they needed. They didn't need a big stove to cook on because, you know, you don't need much to cook rice. You just need a little bit. Man, then so it was just that way. It was just from day to day. But aren't we blessed? God forgive us when we complain. God forgive us when we murmur. Amen. We're a blessed folk tonight. Amen. God has given us so very much. But Jesus said, just give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Praise God. Now, I think spiritually we need to pray that every day. You know, when Israel was in the wilderness and they tried to store up the manna spoiled and made them sick. The lesson is you can't store enough spiritual bread to feed your spiritual man for the rest of your life or even for a long time. It's got to be fresh, friend. That's why it's important to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. Every time there's a service, because this only lasts well when it's fresh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you don't get to come to the house of God for a while, something gets stale on the inside. Something gets hungry on the inside. We start getting empty on the inside because we need the bread of life and we need it regularly. Amen. Praise. Thank God I found some bread when I got to the house of the Lord. And then David said to Elimelech, he said, something else I'm looking for. He said, I left in a hurry and I didn't even get my sword. He said, would you happen to have a sword in the house? And Elimelech said, well, he said, the only sword that's here in the house of God is the one that you used to cut off Goliath's head with. Woo! David said, that'll do. Amen. That'll do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the bone and the marrow. Amen. And the soul and the spirit. It's a fine, sharp sword today. Amen. It's the only offensive weapon that we have. The Bible talks about the shield of faith that we take, and the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And our loins girt about with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. But he said, we take the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. We got one weapon today that'll put the devil on the run, and it is the word of the Lord. That's what you used to cut him down to size. That's what Jesus used, wasn't it? When the devil was tempting him in the wilderness, every time the devil would say something, he'd say, it is written. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the devil wants to come between you and this book. He wants to get between you and your Bible. He doesn't care anything else you read. You can read Woman's Home Journal, and you can read Reader's Digest, and you can read Sports Illustrated, and you can read anything else you want to read, and he don't care how much you read, but he don't want you getting your nose in this book, because he knows there's no book like this book. This is the one that not only gets in your head, but it can get in your heart. Hallelujah. And whenever you read this word and you cover your mind with this word and you get this in your spirit and you get this in your heart, then it takes away his power and it takes away his ability, and his lies have no power over you, because the word of God becomes powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why he wants to keep your head out of the word of the Lord. Amen. That's what we need to read. Amen. We need to get into it. We need to read it. He said, I'll hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wherewith shall the young man cleanse his way? With the word of God. The Bible said we are washed. We are cleansed. Amen. With the washing of the word. Hallelujah. It cleanses away our guilt. It takes away our shame. Amen. It destroys the power of the enemy, and it makes us clean and righteous and pure so that we can stand before the Lord. Amen. And stand in righteousness. You know, the scripture said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. When you're happy, you feel so much stronger than when you're sad. Is that right? When you're sad, you're discouraged, you're depressed, you can just barely crawl around. Amen. But whenever you're excited and you're joyful, amen, you feel some strength. Amen. So the devil does his very best. He wants to make you feel guilty. He wants to make you feel depressed. He wants to make you feel powerless. Amen. But if you know, the Bible said we know his devices. Amen. Praise God, because we found it in the word of the Lord. And we can clothe ourselves in this powerful word. It's a powerful sword. Amen. And it will help us in the day that we have need and we have troubles. Amen. I read something in the book of 2 Kings chapter 22. It's rather sad, actually. The Bible said in verse number 8, 2 Kings 22 and 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now here's what's startling about that, is that the Bible actually got lost in the house of God. How can it be that the Bible could get lost in the house of God? It's because they've started worshiping other gods, and they started using other holy books. Amen. Is it possible that the word of the Lord could get lost in the supposed house of God? It is possible when men start preaching their philosophies and their ideas and their interpretations, and they start preaching what society wants to hear, and they start preaching what is politically correct. And they start preaching what the Bible said in the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I love that verse when it says that. Amen. And so they're saying to somebody, hey, don't preach us that old word of God. Amen. Preach us something that'll make us feel good. Amen. Hey, it's all right to feel good in the house of the Lord. Amen. But sometimes, if I'm not right, I need the word of God to tell me that I'm wrong, because only when I get rid of my sin did I have anything to feel good about. God forbid, I've asked the Lord, please don't ever let me feel comfortable when I'm wrong. Please convict me when I'm wrong. Please tell me when I'm wrong. Don't ever let me soothe my conscience living in sin and justify my unrighteousness. That's how the mind becomes reprobate. When we hear truth and reject truth, and we want to make it our Bible and make it our way. I've actually had people tell me that God told them it was all right for them to do things that were sinful. It was the wrong God you heard from. Amen. God doesn't have one plan for one person and another person another plan. You talk about absolute confusion. Amen. The Bible said he's the same. He's the same He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I change not. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So what he said, he meant. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Bible lets us know that we can lose the Word of God in the house of God. It happened, and it can happen again. But God forbid that it happened here. Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to revere the Word of the Lord. We're going to exalt the Word of the Lord. Amen. We're going to love the Word of the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that in the last days, the Bible said that God said he would send some people delusion, that they would believe a lie and be damned because they received not a love for the truth. Not because they didn't know the truth, but because they didn't love the truth. I don't want that to happen to me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's keep preaching the Word of the Lord. Let's keep preaching Acts 2:38. Let's keep preaching one God. Let's keep preaching Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Hallelujah. Let's keep preaching righteousness. Let's keep preaching holiness. Amen. Let's keep preaching the old-fashioned Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that somebody preached the Word of the Lord to me. Now listen, we don't need to preach the Word of God hatefully. The Bible said preach the truth in love. I really do. I like steak. But if you slap me up beside the head with it, I don't care much for it. I want it cooked about medium well, and I want it hot, and I want it, you know, kind of dressed with some nice baked potato on the side, and you know, and maybe some green beans and salad, and some peach cobbler with ice cream for ice dessert, and a big sweating glass of iced tea. And anybody hungry yet? Amen. Now that's how you serve steak. Amen. And that's how you present the gospel. You present it beautifully, not hatefully. Amen. Praise God. And it's possible, isn't it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Some people can beat you to death with truth. Amen. It's in the presentation. Amen. We want to present it beautifully. God help us today to preach the truth in love. Amen. To preach it with our lives. To preach it with our testimony. To preach it with everything that's in us, and everywhere we go, preaching the Word of the Lord faithfully. Amen. Let's not lose the Word of God in the house of God. Amen. As some did in the Scriptures. Amen. But you know what else I found in the house of the Lord? Amen. I found mercy. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. That was a song somebody wrote up for maybe Joel Hemphill's. I know it was. He said, the sweetest song that I ever heard was, I forgive. Hallelujah. Amen. I found mercy in the house of God. I found mercy in the house of God. David said it beautifully, didn't he? Psalm 23:6. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. And I've always loved Psalm 136. Let me read it to you. It said, go give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone hath done great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever to him that stretched out the earth above the waters. For his mercy endureth forever to him who made great lights. For his mercy endureth forever to the sun to rule by day. For his mercy endureth forever the moon and the stars to rule by night. For his mercy endureth forever to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. For his mercy endureth forever and brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endureth forever. And with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endureth forever to him who divided the Red Sea into parts. For his mercy endureth forever and made Israel to pass through the midst of it. For his mercy endureth forever and overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. For his mercy endureth forever. Anybody getting the idea yet? To him who smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Now help me out here. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Say it with me. Sihon the king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. And an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. For his mercy endureth forever, who give food to all flesh. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Anybody got the idea yet that God is plenteous in mercy? Amen. The Bible said that his mercies are fresh every day. Hallelujah. Peter thought he was being real generous one day. He said to the Lord, he said, you know, if my brother offends me, should I forgive him even up to seven times? And the Lord said, Pete, that's good, but not seven times, but seven times 70, 490 times in one day. Amen. I'm talking about mercy. Amen. I'm talking about mercy. Amen. We've been recipients of mercy. We need to be merciful. Hallelujah. We need to forgive others because we have been forgiven. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in the world that ought to understand how mercy works, it ought to be you and me. Praise God. Hallelujah. How can I hold anything against anybody when God has forgiven me so much? Hallelujah. How can I be critical of my brothers and sisters when God has forgiven me so much? Amen. How can I try to stand between somebody and the grace of God when God has forgiven me so much? Why should I ever talk about anybody else when God has forgiven me so much? Amen. Anybody feel forgiven here tonight? Anybody experience the mercy of God? Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Our God is so merciful. And I think the word of God's getting it across to us here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've always loved these verses from the book of Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. The psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Amen. I'll say it again, folks. You know, I've heard this, and the world uses this a lot. They say, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on, right? You've heard that. Amen. That's not for the church. The Bible don't say talk about the church that way. You remember what Jesus said? He did not say, up on this rope, I build my church. He did not say, I come to leave you dangling. And if you can hang on long enough, you'll be saved. No, sir. He said, upon this rock. Woo! Upon this rock. Upon this rock. upon this rock, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. He wanted you to know that there's security in Jesus Christ. He wanted you to know that you can be firm and founded in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is not about dangling. This is about standing. Amen. Praise God. Thank God that there's security in the house of the Lord. And there's a firm foundation in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, this world's trying to chip away that foundation. It does everything it can to chip away that foundation. Amen. Praise God. You Christians, y'all are so narrow-minded. If you fell on a pin, you'd put out both eyes. Well, that might be true. Amen. But there's some things you need to get narrow-minded about. Truth is one of them. Truth is not relative. Truth is not relative. There's not one truth for somebody else and another truth for me. Amen. Truth is truth. Amen. Praise God. And people that don't have truth or don't want to believe truth don't want to believe that. But that's not going to change your mind. You just got to stand on truth, folks. Amen. Love truth and love people. Hallelujah. But if they disagree with you, love them but disagree. Love them but disagree. Agreeably but disagree. Amen. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to accept this whole idea that you know, there's many roads to heaven. That's not what I read in this book. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. He said, if any other man come up any other way, he's a thief and a robber. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate. Amen. I am the life. I am the way. I know that sounds narrow. It just gives you and I a big job, folks. If we really believe what we're saying here tonight, we got a big job to let this whole city know, to let this whole world know about Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Lottie talked about those folks worshiping what they know to be God. It's our job to introduce him more fully to them. That's what Apollos did. Amen. Aquila and Priscilla did. Apollos was a great preacher. He just didn't know all the truth. So the Bible said they showed him the way more clearly. And Apollos became one of the great preachers of the apostolic church in the first stage, in the first age. Amen. And Aquila and Priscilla, you barely hear their names in the Word of God. They were not great folks. They were just people that knew the truth. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. For those of you that are just beginning this journey, we're so glad you've joined us here. Amen. But let me tell you something. Don't you let the devil tell you that, well, you know, just the preacher knows how to tell folks. No, 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 no. You know what he did for you. Amen. Somebody wants to know something. Don't you say, well, you know, let me go get my pastor. No, you tell him what happened to you. Amen. You may not know a whole lot of the scripture, or you might, but whether you do or whether you don't, just tell them what happened to you. You know, I used to be empty, now I'm full. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I tell you what, I'm so happy. God's made such a difference in my life. Amen. You see, Mother Holly used to say this. He said, a man with an argument cannot win against a man with an experience. I mean, somebody, they may have more degrees than a thermometer. But if they don't have the Holy Ghost and they're trying to tell you the Holy Ghost is not real and you got the Holy Ghost. You say, sorry, bud. Amen. This is one time you're wrong. I've been on that side. I know what that's like. Now I'm living on this side. I know what this is like. And this is better than that. And I'm staying here. Come join me. Hallelujah. But whether you do, whether you don't, I'm staying on this side because I found what I was looking for. Thank God, in the house of the Lord, you'll find strength. Amen. You'll find truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. In the house of the Lord, you'll find peace. Psalm 119, 165 said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We need to read that often. We need to read that often. If you're getting offended lately, you need to go back and read the Word of the Lord. And don't be offended. Hear what I said? And don't be offended. Could I preach a little bit here tonight? Thank you. We are living in the land of the thin skin. And people are looking for things to be offended about. But the Bible said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing. You hear that? Nothing shall offend them. Amen. Praise God. Do we have great peace? Do we love the word of the Lord? Then let's don't get offended. Don't let things offend you. Well, do you know what he said? Was it true? If it was true, then try to change it. If it wasn't true, what difference does it make? Amen. Praise God. We use that excuse, and I've thought of this, and this is easier to preach than it is to live, by the way. Amen. We're still perfecting this. I'm still working on it. Amen. But if you ever said something to somebody, he made me angry or he made me mad. Well, if he did, you let him. Huh? Shake it like this right here. Yeah, that's right. You let him. Now, you gave him control of your emotions. You gave him control of your mind. That's right. You might even believe his lie. Yeah. Because he made you angry. That means you gave him power over you. But if you can somehow have great peace, hallelujah, amen, and love his law, and say on, brother, amen. Say what you want to say. Amen. It's not true what you're saying. If it is, I apologize. Otherwise, you can believe what you want to believe, but you're not going to ruffle my feathers. You're not going to steal my song. You're not going to take my victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to press on. Amen. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to get hung up on what somebody else got to say about me. I love what Brother George Glass said, George Glass Sr. There were some people talking about him. If you do anything in life, people will talk about you. If you don't do anything in life, people will talk about you. In other words, people are going to talk about you. And so Brother Glass's friends came and they said, Brother Glass, do you know what they said about you? Amen. Do you know what your enemies are saying? Brother Glass said, I don't have any enemies. They said, but Brother Glass, your enemies are saying, he said, I told you, I don't have any enemies. And he wouldn't hear it. Amen. That's good news. You know, some of the greatest problems we have is because we allow people to use our ears for garbage cans. And dump a bunch of stuff in there. Amen. Praise. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I meddling or am I preaching? Amen. Or a little bit of both. Amen. Praise God. Do you know what happens when somebody tells you something negative about somebody, whether you believe it or not, it plants a little doubt in your head. I hate for people to tell me stuff about somebody else. Amen. I don't need to know. I don't want to hear that. Now, if it's something I can do to help somebody, then please tell me about it. I'll do my best to help you. But if you just want to gossip and run somebody down, don't come talking to me about it. If you just want to tear somebody else down to make you look good, then keep it to yourself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen what happens when mud is flung on the wall. You can take the mud away, but the stain remains. And I don't like people putting stains on someone else's character just to make them look good. Amen. Be careful. Amen. I don't know how we got into that, but we did. And it's over. It's painless. We're on our way. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's get on to the good stuff. Amen. I said all that to say, don't be offended. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Everybody, get a hold of peace. Hang on to peace. Don't let anything rattle your peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 said, be careful, or don't worry, is a translation. Don't worry about anything. That's good advice. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, he said, don't worry, pray. And then he said, after you've prayed, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Amen. And then I love this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. It said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, in verse number 7, it talks about the peace of God. And verse number 9, it talks about the God of peace. So we not only have the peace of God, but the God of peace is with us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Need more peace? The God of peace is with you. The source, the origin, the fountainhead that gives peace is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And lastly, in the house of God, I found power. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, say that with me, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So if he's got it all, nobody else has any. Right? Hallelujah. Why would you want to serve any other God? Because they're powerless. He said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Therefore, in other words, because that power was given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So Jesus said, all power is given to me. And John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he said he came to his own received them not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everybody say, power to become. That's the kind of power you have. Power to become. Power to become. Power to become. It doesn't matter what you were, you have power to become something that you were not. Power to become. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, we preached about this a little bit Sunday morning. Let me remind you again what that means. What the word power is translated in some places virtue. We talked about it being translated virtue in another place. It's the same word. The Greek word is dunamis. From that word, we get dynamo and we get dynamite. Hallelujah. But and we in some places it's translated virtue. And what it literally means is whatever describes a thing and its greatest grace. That's how you define certain things. We used an illustration of a cheetah that represents speed, because that when you see a cheetah, that's what you want them to do. I hate to go to the zoo and see a lion just laying there, swatting flies. I want to hear that buddy roar. And he's supposed to be the king of the jungle, the king of beasts. I like to see him stand up and shake his old mangy head with that hair hanging all around, and open his mouth and roar and strike fear in everything in the zoo. Amen. The monkeys stop chattering. The birds stop singing. Amen. Because that's what a lion does. Amen. I read a story one time about an eaglet that somehow grew up in a chicken pen. And he didn't fit in. He tried to. He tried to be a chicken. Chicken scratched in the ground. He scratched in the ground. Amen. Chickens picked on one another. He picked on one another. Chickens clucked. He couldn't cluck. He sounded different. He was kind of ashamed of how he sounded, because he didn't sound like a chicken. And he started growing, and he didn't look like a chicken. Amen. He did his best to fit in the chicken pen, but he couldn't fit in the chicken pen. One day he was in the chicken coop, and all of a sudden he heard a sound from the heavens. And he looked up above him, and he saw a majestic eagle with his wings spread out. And he heard him screech, the screech of the eagle. And he screeched himself, and he said, wow. He said, no wonder I don't fit in the chicken pen. I ain't a chicken. Hallelujah. And so he started flapping his powerful wings. And in a little while, he left the chicken scratching in the sand. And he rose up on wings as a mighty eagle into the heavens. And he found out what he was all about. No wonder I didn't fit in here. I'm not a chicken. Amen. Amen. Hey, you're not going to feel at home in this world. You better not feel at home in this world, because you're not a worldling anymore. When God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He puts His Holy Spirit in you, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and you're not supposed to feel at home here. You're not supposed to fit in here. Amen. You're supposed to be different. You're going to stand out. Amen. Praise God. And one of these days, hallelujah, we're going to hear a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, God, I found power in the house. I don't know about you, but that's what I found. 15 years old when I found the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! And it's kept me, yay, these 40 plus years. Amen. I'm going to have a spiritual birthday pretty soon. Amen. June the 19th. Hallelujah. I'll be 42 years old in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. You know what? It's more powerful today than it was 42 years ago. Amen. I haven't found anything that the Holy Ghost won't get you through. And believe you me, I've been through some stuff. I fought some battles. Amen. I've been through some trials. I've had some losses. Amen. But I have not found not one thing that the Holy Ghost won't get you through. Amen. It'll take you through the fire. Amen. It'll take you through the flood. There's not anything that the power of the Holy Ghost won't get you through. Amen. Praise God. Boy, it's gotten me through some tight spots. I got to quit. Amen. I was teaching at Texas Bible College, enjoying every minute of it. My wife and I went out to eat one day, this guy in front of me was a big motorhome, and he... looked like he didn't know if he was washing or hanging out. And so, you know, I just pulled up and turned and went on my way and about my business. And let my wife out, and then I went and parked the car. And that guy in that big motorhome comes, and he parks his motorhome, and he gets out. And I mean, he had steam coming out of his ears. He was red in the face. He was angry. He was cussing. He was accusing me, said, "You cut me off." I said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know you were turning. I didn't see a signal." And man, he reared back, and he took a swing at me. And I ducked it. And I was thinking right about then, I'm thinking, what am I going to tell the students tomorrow when I get in class? And I got a fat lip and a couple of black eyes and bloody nose. And, you know, how's this going to look? I thought I was in serious trouble there. Amen. So I prayed out of that one. I said, "God, you got to calm this guy down, because I don't want to hit him. So I'm going to have to grab him and take him down, I guess, if I can." Amen. Hope I don't get too bloodied up doing it. Amen. Now, I said the Holy Ghost will keep you. It will. Now you got to let it. But it will keep you. I was driving Oklahoma. I was driving 70 miles an hour on the interstate. And the truck, I don't know if he was asleep or what, but he literally ran me off the road into the ditch doing 70 miles an hour. It was one more wild ride. By the mercy of God, I didn't turn over. But when I got back on the road, I floored that thing, and I said, "Buddy, I'm going to get you." And the Holy Ghost said, "Well, what you going to do when you get there?" Huh? "I'm going to whoop him in Jesus' name." Well, that just don't go together. So I just had to let off the gas and say, "All right, Lord, I'll let it go. I sure don't want to, but I will. I'm saying the Holy Ghost will keep you if you let it. Amen. It'll help you let go of stuff you need to let go of. And it'll help you hold on to things you need to hold on to. Amen. It gives you power to become. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand together. Aren't you glad for what you found in the house of the Lord? I have found everything that I need here. There's not one thing I'm missing tonight that I need to go looking for in this old world. Not one thing. Amen. And finally, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he that giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. There's power in the house of the Lord. There's power in the house of the Lord. Amen. Everything I need, I found it right here. I found it in Jesus Christ. I found it in Jesus Christ. You'll never measure up to this world. They, you know, right now, skinny's in, you know. No matter how skinny you get, it'll never be skinny enough. And about the time you get skinny enough, you start getting cracks, you know. And you can't putty them in enough. You can't stretch your skin enough. You just can't fit in nothing. This old world, it's never satisfied. And just about the time you get skinny and get all the cracks filled in, then fat starts coming back in. I'm waiting for that day. But let me tell you, the scripture said the fat is the Lord's. So he loves some of us more than he does others, because there's more to love. That's not exactly scriptural, but makes me feel good. Amen. It's a good excuse. All I'm just saying, folks, you can't fit in this world. It's never satisfied. But you can satisfy the Lord, and you can be satisfied in the Lord. He gives you peace. Amen. He gives you joy. He's merciful. Amen. We find bread. We find strength. Amen. We find the sword of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Everything that we need, we find but in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. One more time. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise him, shall we? Just lift up your hands and lift up your voice. And let's give him thanks tonight. Jesus, we're so very blessed. And we're so thankful. Hallelujah. Just want to praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for what I found in the house of the Lord. Everything that I've needed. Hallelujah. I found bread. I found a sword. Amen. I found mercy in the house of God. I found peace in the house of God. I found power in the house of God. Everything that I've ever needed, Lord, I found it all in you. Hallelujah. I found it all in you, Jesus. Amen. You're my joy. You're my peace. You're my power. You're my strength, Lord. I thank you tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, and God bless you. Amen. We'll see you Sunday, if not before. Amen. Go in the grace of God.